Many of you would have watched the president's speech, Cyril Ramaphosa, addressing the nation last night. I think many of you commented on the fact that he looked particularly tired this time round. In addition to everything he spoke about, he also acknowledged, and I thought this was quite an important part of his speech, he acknowledged that some action that government had taken in its efforts to curb the spread of the coronavirus had been unclear, contradictory and poorly explained. And he acknowledged government's shortcomings in its response to the pandemic, and he committed to ensure that all government decisions from now on are taken in good faith, that they are reasonable and rational, and that they're based on empirical evidence. Also, that they don't cause more harm than good. So I thought we should actually focus on the aspects that fall under the definition, the broad definition of what he spoke about in terms of that paragraph. He didn't go into any detail, but that certainly doesn't stop us from analysing exactly what it was he was likely talking about and what can be done about it if government has indeed made this promise to improve the situation going forward. Political analyst Ntsebisi Ndletshana joins us right now. Prof, good afternoon to you and thank you very much for being with us. Let me ask you first of all for your overall impression of the president's address last night.
Well, I thought it was a good address. Somewhat disappointing, I guess, because of course there would be specific announcements about when this lockdown is likely to end. I guess that reflects our desperation to get out of this. But on the night, and given what had happened the last time he spoke, I think it did well. The last time he spoke, he made a blunder. He announced something only to be contradicted by his minister, and that was terrible. You don't have a president issuing what is essentially an executive decision and then have a subordinate overruling that. However much they wish to explain it, it was a blunder, especially for a president whose authority is still questioned by some. So that was terrible PR. So he needed to come back to reassure us that he's still the chief and to apologize, obviously, because that was a bit unseemly. And also, because he hasn't spoken to us in a while, he does need to keep in touch to let us know that he's not entirely insensitive to our being locked down, because, you know, he's a president, he gets to go all over, and yet we are stuck here at home. So there's a certain degree of sensitivity that he needed to display and reassure us that the end is near. So it was good insofar as that is concerned.
All right. So, Prof, give me a sense of this. I mean, you've spoken now about the one contradiction for you that stood out very, very sharply. And that was, of course, the announcement around the cigarette ban being lifted. And of course, the COGTA minister, the Cooperative Governance Minister, Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, coming out a few days later and saying, well, actually, we've decided to keep this ban in place. It's caused a whole lot of unhappiness among 11 million South Africans who are smokers and others who also feel passionately about it. Tell me, at what level could that contradiction have arisen?
Well, I'm not sure, Joe. Perhaps the process itself was bad. And I mean, you know, it's a bit unsettling, actually, when one thinks about it even more. Because once the president announces a decision, one assumes that decision has been taken after serious and lengthy deliberation. So it's a considered decision. And after all, it is the president that then presents it. So it means it's final. So to then have a minister coming back later on to say we got additional information that then led us into saying, no, we shouldn't sell cigarettes. I mean, it's a little bit nonsensical. It's weird. What information did not get, which they didn't get prior to that. So you get a sense of people challenging presidential authority. Maybe the decision-making process was flawed. I don't know. But the point is, once the president makes an announcement, that's final. To do otherwise is then to create all sorts of suspicion. That is why most people were actually furious. And also because it's smoking. Smoking is an addiction. You won't expect, you won't get a reasonable response. People want to smoke, they want to smoke, right? So you need to also to show a little bit of sensitivity. So there was a bit of arrogance as well, because those people or ministers don't smoke, or some of them, therefore they don't give a damn, so to speak. So there was that impression of presidential authority being challenged, and arrogance that we will do as we please, a certain degree of arbitrariness, which doesn't go down well with South Africans.
Right. Let's talk for a moment about the ban on the sale of alcohol, Prof. Because here we had slightly clearer reasons as to why government wanted to do this, even though different reasons were perhaps communicated by different ministers. I mean, you had particular ministers giving us some idea that there was it put pressure on the hospital system, that you've got about 63,000 people dying as a result of alcohol-related illness. And of course, that puts pressure on a hospital system that desperately needs beds for COVID patients specifically. Was that properly communicated, and was the continuation of that ban was there clear communication on why it should continue, should we say?
Yes, on the alcohol front, that was clearly articulated, especially because of the number of accidents that you normally have over weekends. That's really the main scare. And also, pubs and taverns, people would congregate there, so you're likely to have high rates of transmission. But on the cigarette front, the picture is a bit sketchy there. In that, yes, poor people mainly share cigarettes. So when they do that, they're likely to infect each other. But one perhaps can say, well, they do that anyway because we have a lot of illegal cigarettes. But then it doesn't mean because you have illegal cigarettes, therefore government shouldn't do what they're able to do. They should, right? So, I mean, it's a 50-50 kind of a scenario, Joe. But the main issue really was the way in which it was explained, 2 weeks or so ago. It was that degree of insensitivity that infested a lot of people, and quite justifiably, by the way.
Yes, yes. I want to ask about the others, and let me group them together as I ask about them, simply because we're up against the clock here, Prof. But the issue of exercise was a really important one. The issue of the type of clothing that is now allowed to be sold was another issue. The imposition of a curfew in lockdown stage 4, but not 5. These are the sorts of things that have been brought up, and that actually Rebecca Davis has very carefully collated in her article in the Daily Maverick today. The issue of e-commerce and the reins that were put on that. What are your views on those, and whether the positions around those particular areas were properly articulated or not?
Well, I think the newness of where we are and the danger that comes with it, Joe, predisposes us to some degree of mistakes, especially those who are in charge. Because should they act without thinking, the repercussions are severe. I don't think it helps us to analyze their performance with such fine comb and be so easy to find fault. I think it's fine to say, are they acting genuinely? Are they acting credibly in line with the general advice? And to nitpick is really it's not really helpful. Let's accept the general mistakes that will happen, but broadly ask the question, have they acted in the best interest based on the best information I think they have? That's my response to your question, Joe.
All right. Let me throw one last one at you, okay. just because I have you on the line, Prof, and I'm going to exploit this to the best of my ability. I mean, okay. John Steenhuisen and the Democratic Alliance announcing that they are filing court papers. They're challenging the curfew that we've just spoken out. They're challenging the 3-hour window period for exercise, and they're challenging the e-commerce ban. Are they being responsible citizens by doing so, or are they simply, as you say, challenging the president and the government unnecessarily at this point?
Well, I expect them to be critical. This is a very sensitive issue. It's a delicate balance to strike. Even government itself, I would think, is not entirely convinced about the cost of their action, in that they know that they need to keep this lockdown as long as possible to limit the rate of transmission. But at the, on the other hand, they are aware not to drag it for too long because it's destroying the economy. Because once the lockdown lifts up, you still want to have a viable economy. So the trick then is, when do you do that? But I think they have accepted that they will not get to a perfect position, in which case what they can wish for is that they are prepared for the spikes in infection as soon as they open up. That is why they're talking about beds. That is why they're talking about ramping up testing. So for the DA to speak the way it does, it's quite understandable. It's a political party whose prospects rely or depend on them, you know, doing well in terms of providing employment. So one would expect them to say that. So, you know, instead of dismissing what they're saying completely, you know, you should understand that it's a contentious issue because of the issues that it involves. But at the same time, I think government's decision is not entirely made out in bad faith.
Prof, thank you for speaking to us this afternoon. Professor Mthembisi Ndletshana.